Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning. Hey, it's Tuesday morning, and you're listening to Baba Jahi here on Home Based Business 101 on the We Work From Home Morning Show. Hey, you know, a lot going on today. It's a rainy day, and I've got an academy that's worked with teaching today. And so, hey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the show over to my wife, who's got a very important sales lesson that she's wanted to share with you this morning. And we're going to have a short show this morning, and let her get this sales lesson in. It's very, very valuable. And you can learn a lot from this once you learn the lesson that's involved in this story and how to apply it to your business. So without any further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Mama Jahi.
Well, good morning, good morning. I am so excited to be able to help my husband on this day. We're here located in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. I'm on the parking lot of the Golden East Mall, and we're out in the rain today. But, hey, it's exciting because we've got to keep things moving, always keeping things moving. I am going to read to you from the book Law of Success in 16 Steps by the great Napoleon Hill, written in 1928. And the chapter I'm reading a little portion from is called Imagination, Chapter 6. Perhaps there is no field of endeavor in which imagination plays such an important part as it does in salesmanship. The master salesman sees the merits of the good sales, the goods he sells, or the service he is rendering in his own imagination. And if he fails to do so, he will not make the sale. A few years ago, a sale was made which is said to have been the most far-reaching and important sale of its kind ever made. The object of the sale was not merchandise, but the freedom of a man who was confined in the Ohio penitentiary and the development of a prison reform system that promises a sweeping change in the method of dealing with unfortunate men and women who have been entangled in the meshes of law. If you may observe just how imagination plays a leading part in salesmanship, I will analyze the sale for you. There's still apologies for personal references, which cannot be avoided without destroying much of the value of the illustration. Again, this is by Napoleon Hill. This is his story. A few years ago, I was invited to speak before the inmates of the Ohio Penitentiary. When I stepped upon the platform, I saw in the audience before me a man whom I had known as a successful businessman more than 10 years previously. That man was B, whose pardon I later secured, and the story of whose release has been spread upon the front page of practically every newspaper in the United States. Perhaps you will recall it. After I had completed my address, I interviewed Mr. B and found out that he had been sentenced for forgery for a period of 20 years. After he had told me his story, I said, "I will have you out of here in less than 60 days. With a forced smile, he replied, "I admire your spirit, but question your judgment. Why do you know that at least 20 influential men had tried every means at their command to get me released without any success? It can't be done." I suppose it was that last remark, "It can't be done," that challenged me to show him that it could be done. I returned to New York City and requested my wife to pack her trunks and get ready for an indefinite stay in the city of Columbus, where the Ohio Penitentiary is located. I had a definite purpose in mind. That purpose was to get D out of the Ohio Penitentiary. Not only did I have in mind securing his release, but I intended to do it in such a way that his release would erase from his breast the scarlet letter of convict and at the same time reflect credit upon all who helped to bring about his release. Not once did I doubt that I would bring about his release. For no salesman can make a sale if he doubts that he can do it. I'll repeat that. No salesman can make a sale if he doubts that he can do it. My wife and I returned to Columbus and took up permanent headquarters. The next day, I called on the governor of Ohio and stated the object of my visit in about these words. Quote, Governor, I have come to ask you to release Steve from the Ohio penitentiary. I have sound reason for asking his release, and I hope you will give him his freedom at once. But I have come prepared to stay until he is released, no matter how long that may be. During his imprisonment, D has inaugurated a system of correspondence instruction in the Ohio penitentiary. As you of course know, he has influenced 1,729 of the 2,518 prisoners of the Ohio penitentiary to take up courses of instruction. He has managed to bag sufficient textbooks and lesson materials with which to keep these men at work on their lessons, and has done this without a penny of expense with the state of Ohio. The warden and the chaplain of the penitentiary tell me that he has carefully observed the prison rules. Surely a man who can influence 1,729 men to turn their efforts towards betterment cannot be a very bad sort of fellow. I have come to ask you to release D because I wish to place him at the head of a prison school that will give us 150,000 inmates of the other penitentiaries of the United States a chance to profit by his influence. I am prepared to assume full responsibility for his conduct after his release. That is my case. But before you give me your answer, I want you to know that I am not unmindful of the fact that your enemies will probably criticize you if you release him. In fact, if you release him, it may cost you many votes if you run for office again. With his fist clenched and his broad jaw set firmly, Governor Vic Danone of Ohio said, if that is what you want with me, I will release him if it costs me 5,000 votes. However, before I sign the pardon, I want you to see the clemency board and secure its favorable recommendation. I want you also to secure the favorable recommendation of the warden and the chaplain of the Ohio Penitentiary. You know, a governor is amenable to the court of public opinion, and these gentlemen are the representatives of that court, unquote. The sale had been made, and the whole transaction had required less than 5 minutes. The next day, I returned to the governor's office, accompanied by the chaplain of the Ohio Penitentiary, and notified the governor that the clemency board, the warden, and the chaplain all joined and recommended the release. 3 days later, the pardon was signed, and Lee walked through the big iron gate, a free man. 3 days later, the pardon was signed, and Lee walked through the big iron gate, a free man. Wow. I have cited the details to show you that there was nothing difficult about the transaction. The groundwork for the release had all been prepared before I came upon the scene. Lee had done that by his good conduct and the service he had rendered those 1,729 prisoners. When he created the world's first prison correspondence school system, he created the key to unlock the prison doors for himself. Why then had the others who asked for his release failed to secure it? They failed because they used no imagination. Perhaps they asked the governor for Dee's release on the ground that his parents were prominent people, or on the ground that he was a college graduate and not a bad sort of fellow. They failed to supply the governor of Ohio with a sufficient motive to justify him in granting a pardon. For had this not been so, he would undoubtedly have released Dee long before I had came upon the scene and asked for his release. Before I went to see the governor, I went over all the facts within my own imagination. I saw myself in the governor's place and made up my mind what sort of a presentation would appeal most strongly to me if I were in reality in his place. When I asked for Dee's release, I did so in the name of 160,000 unfortunate men and women, inmates of the prisons of the United States who would enjoy the benefits of the correspondence school system that he had created. I said nothing about his prominent parents. I said nothing about my friendship with him during former years. I said nothing about his being a deserving fellow. All these matters might have been used as sound reasons for his release, but they seem insignificant when compared with the bigger and sounder reason that his release would be of help to 160,000 other people who would feel the influence of his correspondence school system after his release. When the governor of Ohio came to a decision, I doubt not that B was of secondary importance as far as his decision was concerned. The governor, no doubt, saw a possible benefit, not to be alone, but to 160,000 other men and women who needed the influence that he could supply if released. And that was imagination. It was also salesmanship. And speaking of the incident after it was over, one of the men who had worked diligently for more than a year and trying to secure these freedom acts, how did you do it? And I replied, it was the easiest task I ever performed because most of the work had been done before I took hold of it. In fact, I didn't do it. He did it himself. This man looked at me in bewilderment. He did not see that which I am here trying to make clear, namely that practically all difficult tasks are easily performed if one approaches them from the right angle. Again, how you approach something from the right angle. There were two important factors entering Lee's release. The first was the fact that he had supplied the material for a good case before I took it in charge, and the second was the fact that before I called on the governor of Ohio, I still completely convinced myself that I had a right to ask for Lee's release, but I had no difficulty in presenting my case effectively. Go back to what was stated in the beginning of this lesson on the subject of telepathy. Okay, well, that's going into something else. But I want to stick with imagination. And one of the things that we want to encourage everyone to do is to use your imagination. And if you should feel as though you're a person who has no imagination, then we encourage you to do more reading on examples of imagination and books of imagination and begin to find ways to use your imagination. One such way is to take picking up two objects randomly. It's picking up anything. For example, if I pick up this compass and I've got a pair of binoculars, and looking at the two of these things and seeing how the compass could be used similar to the binoculars and how the binoculars could be used similar to the compass, then you might think, impossible. Or is it possible for these two to be put together and come up with a new creation? Ha-ha. And that is how things are invented or done, through use of our imagination. Some people might say that today in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, it's raining and it's going to be a miserable day. But ha-ha, I will use my imagination, and I see it as a wonderful day, a beautiful day, a day to get even more things done. Maybe more things on the telephone, maybe more things at the computer. But things can be done if only we use our imagination. And if we present things to someone, what we want to exchange or sell, we have to keep in mind that we're not really selling them anywhere anything. We want to make sure people are going to benefit from whatever it is that we are presenting to them. So it may not. It cannot be because they're going to purchase it for me so that I can get to the next level or so that I can earn more money. But how is it going to benefit them, and how is it going to benefit even beyond their wildest dreams? So I will be turning this call back over to my other whole. We don't call ourselves half because he's all 100% Sitali Baba Jahi, and I am 100% all of whom I am. And together, wow, the percentage gets even higher. And that is what I want to share with you on imagination. If you need to look up that again, it's the book, The Law of Success in 16 Lessons by the great Napoleon Hill, and it was written in 1928. And it shows you how important it is to always be thinking of the bigger picture. He was thinking of 160,000 other people who could benefit from this. And, of course, B benefited, and everyone benefited that was involved. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Cynthia, for sharing that wonderful lesson with people. And she said, remember, what is the benefit for other people? Remember, we did a lesson on being a problem solver. And the Napoleon Hill Show, by solving a problem, there can be benefits in it for other people. So with that said, hey, we're going to close out today's show and tune in with us again tomorrow. And tomorrow I'll be able to share maybe some things with you about some lessons that I teach today in our Entrepreneur Academy class that I'm teaching. So have a wonderful, blessed day. May you prosper in all that you do. And God bless you.